A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix original comedy special. In Philadelphia, USA, Jack makes a video call.
Hey, Daddy!
Why are you ringing me now? I'm just on my way to bed.
Well, I've got a big surprise.
Right.
You know the show Queer Eye?
Who the fuck is Queer Eye?
The makeover show, the lifestyle makeover show.
Oh, no, I know what it is. Yes, Queer Eye. That show you're always crying at.
The cast sit near Jack.
I had something in my eye.
Grabbing the phone.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
What beautiful pajamas you have on.
Oh, thank you. I was actually going to bed. Mrs. Whitehall, Hillary, has had a few Prosecco's. And she's kind of a little bit,
Oh my God. You're going to give Jack a new little brother or sister, okay.
One week later, London's West End, titled Jack Whitehall, Christmas with My Father.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Jack Whitehall.
With a backdrop of Christmas trees, Jack comes on stage amidst a choir. His dark hair is short and his beard trimmed. He wears a blue suit jacket with a burgundy shirt and dark pants. The choir leaves the stage.
Hello and welcome to Christmas with my father. This is basically going to be like any family Christmas. There's going to be arguments, an uncomfortable guest, and at some point, an elderly man will fall asleep halfway through saying something racist. We do try to get my dad into the spirit of Christmas each year. We always put his angina tablets in the advent calendar. Last year, we added a little roulette element by sticking a Viagra behind one of the doors. That was a weird Christmas Eve. I have never seen carol singers run that fast. For anyone that is unaware of my father, he has a very specific sense of humour. It's why I can never bring a girl back home. The times in my life that I have, it's always been a disaster. I always remember one Christmas, I took a girl back to meet him for the first time and took her back to the family home. And my father was like, oh, would you like a tour of the family home? I was like, oh, please, God, no, not the tour of the family home. I would say that our relationship was doomed by the time they'd reached the kitchen. Because in my father's kitchen, he has a little wine cellar built into the floor. A little wine cellar. It's a little hatch door to the wine cellar with a padlock on it. And my father thought it was appropriate to walk over it and whisper in her ear, "This is where I keep my secret family." That's not even his worst offense as well. Worst offence came a couple of Christmases ago. My sister, who had been let out of the cellar by then, she had a boyfriend coming over for Christmas. And this boyfriend at the time, he was a slightly, thicker set gentleman, well proportioned, jolly, morbidly jolly, big lad. Anyway. He rings the doorbell. Me and my sister are in the kitchen. It is like slow motion. Both of us trying to get to the front door before my father can answer it. But we were too late. We arrived just in time to see my father open the door, not even greet this boy, just look him up and down and shout through to my mother in the kitchen, "Hillary, we're going to need more turkey." I'm not letting my mum off the hook here as well, by the way. My mum is also mad. My mum is a dog mummy. She was my mummy, and then I left home, and I'm now dead to her. And her only child is her dog, Philomena. Yes, some fans of Philomena in this evening. It's got to the point, though, now, where it is obsession. It is obsession with Philomena. My old room at my house has been cleaned out, and it has been turned into a shrine to Philomena. There's pictures of Philomena, there's paintings of Philomena, there's models of Philomena, there's passive-aggressive embroidery on scatter cushions dotted round the room. When I needed a hand, I found a paw. Christmas, my mum just goes to town with the presents. And it is not just the presents that she buys for her dog. She also purchases presents for herself that she then wraps up and pretends that the dog has given her. No, don't encourage this behavior. We have to sit there on Christmas Day as she unwraps these presents that she's bought for herself and wrapped up for herself and pretended that she's been given by the dog, and sit there and pretend that this is the behavior of a rational human being and not someone that needs psychiatric help. Ooh, I wonder what Philomena's bought, Mummy. Hopefully a fucking straitjacket. Then we have to sit through the next bit. The next bit is the presents that she has bought for Philomena. I mean, my presents now are a joke. All I get is passive-aggressive presents from my mother, things like deodorant, a baby grow last year. I was like, I don't have a child, don't remind me. Philomena, just ridiculously spoiled. Philomena got artisan biscuits last Christmas. Yes, artisan biscuits in 4 different flavors. Sat there as my mum's feeding Philomena this smorgasbord of artisan biscuits. Oh, which flavor did you prefer? Was it the vanilla and cardamom or the vanilla and cinnamon? How refined a palate do you think Philomena has, Mummy? She didn't seem that fussy just now when I took her on a walk and she was licking another dog's asshole.
Bending down to address the pretend dog.
Listen to him, Philly. Oh, God, and now the dog is licking your mouth. What is that about? My mother, who is so much of a germaphobe, she will take a wet wipe to an ATM machine before using it, yet now appears to be happy to go ass to mouth with the neighbor's shih tzu. Anyway. I'm being harsh. My parents are wonderful. They are wonderful, wonderful people, and they've always been so, so supportive of me, even when I was little. Because as a child, I was a bit of a problem child. The problem with me is that I always wanted to be on stage, even when I was a little boy. And I was never cast in any of the plays at school because I was a slightly unfortunate-looking child and I had a speech impediment. Which is not the funny bit. Yes. Ah, thank you very much. People laughing over there, fuck you. Okay? Oh, laugh at the boy with the speech impediment. That's not the bit that we're meant to laugh. Also, it appears to have come back. What? You've triggered me, bitch. Anyway, I have a few. A speech impediment. And what would that? Stop it! No! I auditioned for all the plays at school and I never got into any of them. So then what would happen is that my parents would complain to the school and the drama teacher would be forced to just make up parts in plays to shut me up. And it was deeply embarrassing for everyone concerned. Because I'd be there, stood on stage, giving it my all. My parents would be in the audience, plastering on a brave face. But deep down, everyone knew there was no emu in the nativity. Anyone else have one of those nativity plays where they just let any fucker in? Yeah, they're ridiculous. I'm stood up there on stage as the emu next to a lobster and Sonic the Hedgehog. And my mum would try to cheer me up about it. She'd be like, Jack, you never know, there may have been an emu in the manger. I'm like, Mummy, let's look at the facts here. Firstly, emus native to Australia. And more importantly, they can't fly. So unless this emu was a very strong swimmer or shagging one of the wise men, I call bullshit. Yes, I knew that emus were native to Australia. I knew everything there was to know about emus. Why? Because I'm a proper actor. I had researched my role. Yeah, a role that I so desperately tried to build up in that play. Oh, I went toe-to-toe with that drama teacher over her stupid script. It was basically all one big circle jerk to Patrick Windler, who'd been cast as the donkey. Oh, isn't the donkey amazing? He took Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Do you know how long it took him, that 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It took the donkey 4 days. 4 days! Have you ever heard of Waze, mate? That is a joke. No wonder there was no room at the inn by the time you arrived. That single star in the sky wasn't God giving directions, that was his Uber rating. Yeah. And what do you expect? What do you expect? If you pick a dumb animal with an average land speed of 9 miles per hour, especially when in the same nativity scene you have the second fastest bird on the planet, capable of an average land speed of 31 miles per hour. What's that, I hear you ask? How long would the journey have taken by emu? 2 hours and 54 minutes. Damn straight. Yes. Yeah. Mary would be giving birth in the penthouse suite right now if she'd gone by emu and not in some shitty barn next to a cow and a sheep and frickin' SpongeBob SquarePants. It's not just speed as well, ladies and gentlemen. Emus are built for comfort as well. Famously double-feathered. Oh, yes, emus are like a cushion on stilts. Meanwhile, have you seen the state of a donkey's back recently? Oh, 90 miles over rustic terrain, straddling that. All I'm saying is that if you still want Mary to look like a virgin by the time she arrives...
Pointing to his back.
Hop on board. Oh, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it is finally time to bring out my sidekick. Yes? The ghost of Christmas past. Would you please welcome my father, Michael Whitehall?
The choir has returned as Michael comes on stage in a steel grey three-piece suit and red tie. Jack opens his arms. Michael shakes his hand without smiling and keeps walking. Set props are wheeled in, including a fireplace with a garland and stockings, two armchairs and a coffee table. They sit.
Can I say something to you? Because it's very nice that those people were, whatever they do, cheering me when I came on, which is very nice. Seems actually slightly louder than when you came on. I mean, that, that, I'm sure that isn't the case, but it just seemed to me in the wings. And it reminded me of that time, not very long ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we went to see a play, and then when we came out, we walked through Soho, and these youths were walking.
Youths. These youths?
We were walking up the pavement, and these youths came down the pavement in the opposite direction. Three youths. And they walked past you because you were walking in front of me, because your mother and I always obviously walk behind you in the street. We know our place. And one of the three youths saw me and came over and said, "Oh my God! You're fucking Jack Whitehall's dad!" And I said to the youth, or youth, if you'd been a bit more savvy with the eyes, you would have actually passed Jack Whitehall, who's been walking in front of us. And he said, "Oh, whatever." And then walked off.
The lowest point of my professional career happened when we were shooting the last series of Travels with My Father. Two American guys walked past you. They recognized you, didn't recognize me. They walked past me, and one of them was describing to his friend what our show was, and this was the description that I overheard. He went, "Oh, yes, it's this show on Netflix. It's about an esteemed elderly English gentleman that travels the world with his doofus son." One thing I want to do before we move on is I want to set some house rules. These aren't just house rules for the show. I think these are also house rules that I'd like to take through to our Christmas at home this year. And the most important one is, please, for the love of God, can we have one year where we aren't subjected to your dad jokes?
Michael remains expressionless.
No, no. I am sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This has to be said. You don't know what the dad jokes are, OK? You don't know what I have to go through every Christmas. Every year, the minute that turkey lands on the table...
Oh, yes, moist.
Oh, my God. No, no.
He hates the word. You hate the word. Moist.
I hate that word. No son or child should hear their parents say the word moist. And it's like it becomes a competition with you to see how many times you can drop the M word in front of us.
I talk about the moist bird.
Yes.
A nice fat moist bird. And we talk about breast and legs and all that. I mean, that's what every father would talk about at Christmas.
No, no, no. And the other one, and I cannot bear it, and it is like clockwork every single Christmas, in front of your children, when you are serving Mummy the turkey, every year, without fail, you say...
Does Mummy require stuffing? It's just a family joke.
It's not a family joke.
Mummy never seems to mind.
Oh, but this is the problem, right? Looking through our family archive, I realise you are a serial offender. This is actual home footage. Ladies and gentlemen, Exhibit A.
Video.
And the big mother turkey.
That is a big mother turkey, I'd say.
Yep.
I've heard of fat birds in my life, and indeed I married one, but that was a big fat bird.
Oh, that's...
No, no, no.
Yeah, you see what I meant about the speech impediment?
Yeah, but it's sweet that you were standing up for your mother, saying, oh, daddy.
Unfortunately, that is not an isolated incident.
There's a little bit of breast there, and then there's some more breast here.
Zooming in on Hillary's chest.
We get the joke.
Do you have a problem with that word, then?
Yeah, it's not the word. It's the content of the humour. The word is less of a problem. I mean, it's not a great word.
Well, supposing I used a different word to breast, say... I don't know, knockers, something like that? What if I said your mother has fantastic knockers? What? That would have been all right.
No.
We were talking about the turkey.
Exactly.
And the turkey breast.
Yes, which is why knockers wouldn't work.
No.
Would you like leg or knocker? That doesn't quite...
No. No, probably that wasn't a very clever thing to have suggested.
The thing is, as well, he has been doing this joke literally from the moment I was born. This is a clip where I am still in the hospital.
In earlier footage, we saw Jack's mother's breasts. Jack proving, like his father, he's a bit of a tit man. Why has your mother got all this footage, incidentally?
Presumably for divorce court, when she...
I'm amazed she's hung on to all this stuff.
Mm. Well, look, this brings me on to the point, which is... 2019, we need to make you more woke.
Awake, you mean?
No, not awake. Well, yes. It's just going to be small changes to your Christmas, but they're going to go a long way to making you a little bit more woke. So, for example, this year, will you be providing an option for vegans?
An option for vegans?
Yes, at the Christmas dinner.
What are vegans?
Like a vegetarian, but more like hardcore.
What, you mean these vegetarian people would be in my house?
Yeah.
For Christmas?
If...
Does that sound like...
If
I had a house full of vegetarians, I'd tell them to go and fuck off.
That is not a vegetarian option.
Right.
Yeah. I meant, like, a nut roast. As you know, that I mean the idea of the dad jokes that would come with a nut roast. Hillary loves a mouthful of nuts at Christmas. No. This is another one, and this is for when you're writing your Christmas cards this year, is that in 2019, some people are non-binary. Yep. Mm-hmm. We are entering the minefield.
non-binary?
Yes. Have you heard of gender fluid?
Gender fluid?
Yes.
Was that the stuff that you left on your sheets?
No. No.
When you were a teenager?
No, no.
And they always needed washing?
No.
And I always thought, no, innocently, that it was toothpaste. It wasn't,
no,
toothpaste.
That is not.
That isn't gender,
no,
fluid. No. So what is gender fluid,
okay,
then,
Jack? Oh, God, OK.
Tell me.
So in 2019, people don't like to necessarily just identify as male or female. Some people prefer to be gender neutral, and they will need to have a gender neutral pronoun used when you're addressing them or when you're writing a card to them. So we don't have Mr. or Mrs. anymore. We now have the gender neutral pronoun, which is MX, OK? And
MX.
In a beautifully ironic twist of fate, for as long as I can remember, you have been signing off all of your cards with an M and a kiss. You don't realize it, but actually, he's a pioneer. You've been identifying as gender neutral for as long as I can remember, and I'm so proud of you, Daddy. I am so proud of you, Daddy slash Mummy, that you are non-binary and proud. So look, this Christmas, the one thing that I want is to bring Daddy finally into the 21st century. So I traveled to Philadelphia to meet up with Netflix's Makeover Masters. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Queer Eye for the Straightest Ever Guy.
Video 3, Queer Eye cast members. Elsewhere, Jack wears a dress shirt, shorts, and socks with croc sandals.
So this week's heroes are Jack and his father, Michael, from London. Their relationship has deteriorated over the past couple of years as traveling around the globe together has taken its toll. So Jack is praying for a Christmas miracle that him and his daddy can finally learn to get along.
Oh, I hope you and his daddy
Isn't
do.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Come in.
Jack arrives to greet Jonathan, Anthony, and Tan.
Nice to meet you. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you.
Not wearing underwear? That's
a
bold choice. Who's the strapping boy?
Good for you.
Well, well, well.
Oh, my God, this is so exciting.
Front row seats to these creamy British thighs. Am I the luckiest person ever?
Your legs are the same color as a gorgeous cup of 2% milk. I love that.
All I see is butt cheek.
Why did I wear the shorts?
And the weird thing is that it doesn't get much paler.
So
there.
It's just as,
yeah,
I want to see how white it goes. Can you stand up for me real quick and just turn around?
Do a little stand, a gentle twirl.
Gosh.
Nice little twirl.
Checking his buttock.
Wow, that goes white all the way.
That is
wonderful.
It's fine.
Well, you got some socks on with your crockies.
Yeah, but I can't be exposing
bare feet. And I can see one of your testicles.
Before we start critiquing you or shaming you, we just want to say, like, I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage for you to volunteer yourself and your dad for a make better.
Yeah.
I wanted to put Michael forward. I'm not part of the... I'm just here to talk to you guys about my dad. I think a lot of my attitude towards starting self-care has been influenced by my father. And in fact, I would quite like to show you a little bit of evidence of this.
Okay, please. We're down to see...
May I borrow that?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Jack, you're so far away from us. Come join us.
Come ahead. Okay. Bring that hairy chest over here. Oh, my God.
And hairy legs.
Simon Cowell, isn't it?
Photos, a dark coat with fur collar.
He's an extra from Chernobyl here. He's one of the USSR scientists.
Russian scientist was the look that he went for, but he did have a brief moment where he experimented. And I never knew about this until I found these
men.
With men.
Good for him.
No.
With lots of men, like tons of men.
Maybe. Look at him. That's him.
I never see old-timey pictures where I'm like attracted to people, but here we are.
Turtleneck with a sweater and blazer.
Your dad can get it in the 50s.
You have the hots for Michael Whitehall circa 1950.
I sure
do. He was attracted to
that. Yes, Michael Whitehall, lay it on me.
Why is he going? Oh my God.
Get
give me that pipe. Think about it.
Just visualize it.
It's like, lay the pipe. Give me that lay pipe. That pipe. Yeah.
But then there was this period, I think in the 70s, where he was Austin Powers.
Oh, that's his whole Mike Myers days. Yeah.
Look at this
wet
guy.
Suit.
Who is this
oh
guy?
Oh my God.
No, it's a little bit Fab Five of this.
Was this?
Yes. Yes. This was a show called Straight Eye. These were the Fab Five.
I love that your dad was just like fully gay in the 70s. Yeah. Good for him.
But I think this is the guy that I want to find again. I want to bring us closer together. In style and in attitudes. Will you be up for trying to help me?
Easy, yes.
Drag my father kicking and screaming.
I am 100% down. Yes. Haven't had Nando's in a while, so I think it's about time. Let's do it.
Yes. Woo!
Jack spins and sashays, smiling for the camera as Michael stands rigid and stone-faced. Spins and sashays, smiling for the camera as Michael stands rigid and stone-faced. In Putney, England, Michael sits in the kitchen with Hillary. Jack and Anthony arrive.
Well, we've got no Christmas crackers.
Not yet. I will get them.
Oh, mother, father.
Oh, hello. Hi, hello. Mr. and Mrs. Whitehall. So nice to meet
Lovely
you.
Nice to meet you. I mean, I've no idea what this show is all about, but what I can tell you is that I've always been a big supporter of things like the LNER community. And
do you mean LGBTQ, Michael?
Oh, I don't know, whatever.
So, we're going to be having a little route around the kitchen. You are aware this is the kitchen. I know you don't spend much time in here. So you don't cook? Christmas isn't great. Like, we have to do a lot of work. It's a whole production line in here. And then he will sit through there at the dining table and then, at some point, genuinely ring a bell. And then when
do
the bell is
ringing, you do.
Very old school. That's very
vicious.
That's very old school.
Vicious.
And we have to bring through the food here. So maybe we work on improving your contribution on a culinary front. So I think it's important for the whole family to partake and to make something together. It's a nice way to connect, show each other you appreciate each other.
Later, an uncooked turkey and bowls of ingredients are on the table.
Name me one thing that's more iconic than a Christmas turkey.
Nothing.
Exactly. Okay, so Mom, we're gonna give you a little break. I want father and son to connect a little bit.
I will embrace that.
When you want the turkey brought through, just ring the bell.
I will ring the bell.
I think this is a really lovely opportunity for you two to actually connect while making something together.
Yes.
We're gonna make the stuffing. We're gonna combine everything in, and then we're gonna stuff the turkey.
Okay. Oh, the jacket's coming off.
Okay.
That means business. You get in there and just give that a good old mush.
Right, I don't want to mess this shirt up.
Mixing with his
Beautiful.
Hands.
Look at that, you guys are cooking. So now you can actually say, next time you're asked when's the last time you cooked together, you can say that it was today.
Yeah, if we did this on Christmas and Mummy could have a little bit of time off.
Beautiful. So it's good to go.
Just spread those legs.
It's very moist, this.
Those were two consecutive sentences I've never heard before.
Yeah.
No, don't go too deep, you might lose your watch.
Michael stuffs the turkey.
So just really get it all the way in there. You don't want any air pockets inside as well. We really want to stuff it.
Shall I use my fist to get it in? That's better. Oh. Right, I think that sort of does that, doesn't it?
That's not something that I can unsee.
Or undo.
Are you happy with that?
So now that would be ready to go.
We're just going to throw the bird in the oven.
If you switch the oven on, do you notice the way I was looking over at the fridge? how often I've been in this kitchen. it's there.
I'm going to make sure the oven's on then. Yeah. Jack, if you could please get the door for me. And in she goes. Awesome.
Later, the turkey is carved and new ingredients are laid out.
Okay, so for part two of our Christmas cookery lesson, there's always a lot of leftover turkey, right? Mm. And on Boxing Day, it's always nice to sort of take something and turn it into something else. And so I know that you and your dear mom love a good curry.
Love a curry.
Right?
So this is coming into cubes, is that right?
In nice little cubes, yeah.
Turkey breast.
I can do this sort of stuff.
Really nice job.
That's
you did
good.
Really well there.
Yeah.
Adding to curry.
Let me mix that round.
Beautiful, yeah. So that's ready. Should your mom come in for this?
Yes.
I'll call her. Hillary!
No, that's...
Hillary!
Don't call her like a dog.
I'm not.
That's not how you call someone.
Hi.
Hello. How spicy do you want it, Mother?
I think sort of medium would be good.
Well, like that.
Yeah. Don't, whatever you do, touch your eye after this, Michael.
Don't touch your eye or your arse, I would say, probably, either.
Chilies.
This curry, I've always put the chilies in when you're
You
doing
can.
It.
This is a little more aggressive if you put them in this way. If you stew them in it, they're going to soften a little bit.
Okay. And this also, presumably, is a sort of spice your own.
Yeah, because everyone has different tastes.
Yeah.
Is this one for me?
That one's for you.
Lovely.
Oh, hang on, I think that one might be for you, because that's
right.
Oh,
no,
that's studded, okay.
Great. That's without spice. Okay.
Turkey curry over rice.
Add a little depth to the sauce.
A nice little umami.
Oh, you haven't got enough salt in here.
That is absolutely revolting.
God!
What?
It's like horrible.
Daddy, I put in one chili flake. Oh. Where were you going?
He's not good.
Why have you locked yourself in the loo?
That was absolutely... It was the most disgusting... Oh, my whole throat.
Okay.
You should get him a glass of milk.
Jack?
I had to spit it out.
Well, that's not the bit you need to be worried about. It's when it comes out the other end. It's really going to hit you. I think Mummy's in for a long night.
Now back on stage in front of a live audience.
We will have more from Queer Eye's toughest ever challenge later in the show, but we have quite a lot to talk about, don't we? What is this?
In the white suit with four women.
It was a photograph I did for charity. And these ladies were... They weren't models, they were just...
Kidnapped and...
No, they were... The one on the left was a sort of friend of mine. I don't know what happened to them. I mean, I haven't heard from... Well, obviously, I don't know what's happened to any of them.
One day they'll find the body.
This was quite...
Anyway, look, I love this picture. This is one of the greatest pictures I've ever seen of you, so I thought it was only appropriate, since we were doing this show, to try and recreate it. And so I did, and I was able to track down those exact ladies.
Jack in a white suit with four elderly women, one asleep.
I'd like to dedicate this picture to the memory of poor Gladys, who unfortunately was just too overcome by the occasion. Now, dressing up is a bit of a theme for us at Christmas, and it's only now that I realise quite why I was so obsessed with dressing up. Because for the first 5 years of my life, every Christmas, I was forced to dress like you.
Approximately three, in suspenders and bow tie.
I felt maybe uncomfortable in these conservative clothes, being made to dress like a snooker referee, and clearly needed to express myself. And I think that's why when I was finally able to express myself with what I wore, I really, really went big. Every Christmas outfit from that year on. Oh my God, like literally every Christmas there was a new outfit. We had Dinosaur, it was Captain Scarlet, Country Squire.
Flat cap, tweed jacket.
Oh, look at poor Barnaby in that picture.
He wasn't happy.
He was not happy. Why is this Gestapo agent pushing my pram?
Young boy in a stroller crying.
Weirdly, it got even camper. The next year, I had the little drummer boy face. This was definitely one of my campest looks. I know.
Yes.
Look at that.
Red shirt and hat.
I mean, it's a strong... But they've really gone to town with redacting that guy's identity.
Blacked out.
We couldn't get this kid's permission to use the photo in this show. I thought they were going to do, like, a little bar across his eyes. I mean, that's really sinister.
He was the boy whose willy you grabbed in the bar. He came to stay for the weekend. You had a bath with him and you grabbed his private parts.
No!
That's why he's been redacted.
I didn't grab his penis.
You did.
I didn't.
Well, what did you do?
I was in the bath and I saw a little dangling thing, but I was... I was curious. I just gave it a little slap. It wasn't like a... I was a kid! Look, my Christmas tradition was dressing up. Your Christmas tradition, 100%, the main one for you, is the Queen's speech. Every year,
yes,
on Christmas Day, the Queen delivers her television speech to the nation, and my father wets his knickers like a teenage girl at a Shawn Mendes concert. He is so excited. Why are you so obsessed with the Queen's speech?
Who's Shawn Mendes? He wasn't one of the boys in the bath, was it, Shawn Mendes?
Why are you so obsessed with the Queen's speech?
The Queen is somebody that I admire. I'm sure you do, too.
Yeah.
And when she made her speech every year, she still does. I just stood. I mean,
well, that's the bit that's weird.
I used to get you to stand up, too.
And that's the bit that's weird.
Why?
Like, watching the Queen's speech, I get that. But, like, making a stand for the Queen's speech, like, for the National Anthem, maybe you stand for the National Anthem. He made a stand for the whole speech. For the whole speech every year. Look how uncomfortable I look in that picture. I've also clearly been forced into that suit. Have you ever seen a man more uncomfortable in a suit? I look like a footballer up in court on drink driving charges.
Standing side by side in front of the TV.
Now, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a posh person telling you what their year was like. So, we have given Father the chance to have a pop at giving his own King's speech. Quick disclaimer before we start this. On behalf of Netflix, and in fact the entire Whitehall family, I would like to say that we are in no way responsible for what you are about to see. Ladies and gentlemen, please feel no need to stand for the King's speech.
An exterior view of Buckingham Palace, and Michael sits behind a desk wearing a suit and bow tie.
2019. What a load of bollocks.
Theresa May.
We went from a woman who looked like she couldn't run a bath to a man who looked like he could really do with one.
Boris Johnson.
The Queen must have been so sick of Boris. I'm surprised she didn't ask Prince Philip to take him for a drive. 2019 saw a number of important anniversaries. It's been 30 years since the Berlin Wall came down. And I must say, I miss it. I much prefer Germans staying where they're put. It's also been 50 years since we landed on the moon, and we still haven't done anything with it. It's the same as it's always been. Cold, desolate wasteland covered in rocks. Scotland in space. There was apparently a World Cup of lady football. I was very surprised that something like that would have existed. I mean, it's like something in science fiction. And finally, Jack introduced me to something called Love Island. Who the fuck are all these ghastly people? Why would they have their name on their water bottle? Presumably because they're so thick, they'd forget what their name was. But I suppose there is an upside. I mean, I actually quite like the idea of taking all the dross and putting them all in some remote island. I mean, it's like what we did with Australia. And the last thing I want to say is a little quote from Jesus. The meek shall inherit the earth. Although I'm delighted to say, not while we have a Conservative government. Happy Christmas.
Words appear above the exterior of Buckingham Palace, the King.
The spirit of Christmas. Now, as a special treat, I've invited one of our country's finest actors to come and join us for this evening. Please, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, all the way from Downton Abbey, Mr. Hugh Bonneville!
They stand as Hugh, who plays Lord Grantham on Downton Abbey, comes on stage in a blue tie-less suit, his hair and beard grey. He shakes their hands and acknowledges the audience before taking a seat.
Hugh, thank you so much for joining us.
This is very exciting. This is very big. This is very big indeed. Very exciting. Thank you for having me.
Are you ready for the weirdest Christmas party you've ever attended?
I've been watching the first 20 minutes. It's pretty fucking weird.
Well, we're so, so pleased that you are here. And I want to hear about your Christmas in the Bonneville household.
Yeah, in the past, we've had, you know, the family over for a few days, but the tricky thing is always how getting to leave. You know, when do they leave? So I came up with a really cunning thing about 3 years ago. I pretended the whole thing was we were on a cruise ship. That was my gag. Yeah. And so we sent out, a week before Christmas, this sort of list, like you do what would get on a cruise ship, saying, day one, embark, 6 p.m. You know, the captain will pipe you aboard, and there's drinks on the poop deck, wherever. Day two, panto at wherever we were going, and then, you know, cold collation, you know, in the afternoon. Yeah. Day after Boxing Day, 11 o'clock, disembargation. You've had your fun, now fuck off.
My kind of guy.
Topped it.
I don't like a lot of guests at Christmas. I like keeping it, like, within our weird family, and I don't want anyone else, like, witnessing our weirdness. The idea of having anyone else there other than just us five, like, fills me with dread.
Well, having seen some of your home footage, I can understand.
You can understand why. You can understand why we keep it in the family.
There's talking of that family. Hillary! Hillary!
Hillary comes on stage in a maid's uniform carrying a tray with two glasses of champagne. She serves them to Michael and Hugh.
Champagne. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's very kind. She is not staff. That is my mother.
This is actually Mrs. Whitehall.
Here. Hello.
It's a tribute.
Hello, Lord
to you.
Hello, Hillary. You look great. Does she do this at home a lot?
She does. No. I usually make a dress like that, certainly at weekends.
Just neck that. I would neck that right now.
Yeah.
Could I just say that if they're doing Downton Abbey the movie too, I am available.
She's ready.
She curtsies and swishes her apron.
Just settle down, Hillary. I know you're excited.
I am.
Is she a client of yours?
She is, yeah. I just have one client now in my retirement.
Look where it got me.
She leaves.
Now, was the young Hugh Bonneville at any point into dressing up like myself? Well, I happen to know that maybe there was a period.
Oh, okay, here it comes.
Young Hugh as an astronaut.
How cute
I can,
is that?
I can tell you when this was. This must have been 1970 because
is
it's
that
the year.
A Hitler moustache you've got on there.
The Hitler moustache, yes.
Is that? Yeah.
This is the year. I'm guessing.
It's a microphone.
It's a microphone.
Sorry. Why would it be a Hitler moustache?
No,
I'm guessing this is 1970 because it's the year after the moon landings and I wanted to be an astronaut. And I have to say, it was either made of asbestos or something weird with petroleum or it stank. It absolutely stank and made me feel sick, which is why I haven't got the visor down.
Yeah.
Because when the visor was down, this aroma from all over this strange suit would rise up and I literally was starting to vomit and retch inside this thing.
Like me as well, on other Christmases, you were forced into a more conservative style. Look at that guy.
Yes. The tie tucked into the shorts there.
Why couldn't you dress like that, Jack? You always had to dress all these weird things and women's frocks and all that. Why couldn't you have worn a tie?
I did.
You dressed me like that,
and then I dressed up like you. And good on him for doing that. We're very similar people, clearly. Oh, my God. What did you play in the Nativity?
I was really, the first time was really, really low down. I wasn't as low as the sheep, but I was a shepherd because obviously, you know, if you're really crap in a nativity play is coming along, you just get given another sheep. You just have loads and loads and loads of sheep. You can't get lower than a sheep. So I was.
I beg to differ.
I was.
I think shepherd, sheep, donkey, and then emu is probably the lowest of the low.
An emu?
An emu, yes. I was an emu.
Is that your idea?
No, his idea.
It wasn't my idea. I wanted to be Joseph. Obviously, I wanted to be Joseph. Or maybe Mary.
There's hope. One, you know, there's still time. There's still time.
Now, I want to know, did your careers ever cross? Because my father was an agent, you are an actor. Were you aware of him at any point?
Absolutely. He was a living legend, to the extent that when I was starting out, one of my first jobs was at the Colchester Mercury Theatre, and I was doing a rep season there, and I wrote to Michael saying, "Dear Mr. Whitehall, it would be great if you could come and cover the show, see the shows, and perhaps we could have a chat and you could consider representing me." Fuck, I never wrote back.
Never wrote back to Hugh Bonneville.
It's funny you should say that because the other person that wrote to me around that time was Julian Fellowes.
Julian Fellowes wrote Downton Abbey, by the way, just in case anyone's like.
And when I last went to Julian and Emma's house, he said to me, "I asked you to take me on." And I said, "Julian. Well, I've no idea. I had no idea that you'd written to me. Awful." And he said, "You wrote back to me." And I said, "Julian, I beg your pardon." And when we came out for lunch, he produced this letter saying, Dear Julian, thank you very much. Unfortunately, at the moment, I've got more clients than I can be able to cope and manage, but how flattered I was that you'd asked me.
Yours sincerely, MX.
And Julian said, so what do you make of that? I said, not my handwriting, Julian. This is a forgery.
Hugh, I want to talk to you about Paddington. I love Paddington.
Oh, good.
That film is so amazing. How does it feel to have made, like, a film like that that's just going to be iconic? People are going to be watching that for Christmas.
I'm really proud of it, because I was really nervous. I thought, because I, you know, loved Paddington as a kid, and I didn't think it was going to... You know, well, I wasn't convinced it was going to work, but it really did, and I think, even in a way, the second one was even better. So it was really, you know, I'm very proud of it.
And you do the audiobooks as well?
I've done most of the audiobooks. For some reason, Stephen Fry seems to have monopolised the beginning and the end, but I'm allowed to do the ones in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I actually, this Christmas, have gone to the trouble of writing my own children's book, and I've been spending a lot of time slaving over this, and I've finally finished, and this Christmas I will be releasing my first ever children's book.
How could you have book. Written a book, Jack? You've never read a book. Wouldn't you need to have a bit of experience of reading before you start writing?
It's called The Grouch. I've written a book called The Grouch.
That is it.
And I was wondering, as we had one of the greatest actors in the world present here this evening, whether you might be willing to read The Grouch to this audience as a kind of
Mr. Bonneville. Thank you.
The Grouch.
Animations are shown on a screen. The Grouch resembles Michael Grouch, with green skin.
By Jack Whitehall. Far, far away in a cave on Mount Strumpet lived the Grouch. Here he is with his pipe and ear trumpet. His heart was too cold from all his scorn and doubt. His foot too big on account of his gout. He lived near a town, Who's Who Land was its name, where lived all the actors of silver screen fame. The Grouch was nearby of his own arrangement, for his profession, you see, was a theatrical agent. Every Christmas, when the moon hit the sky, with his big droopy sack and a glint in his eye, he would sneak down to town, and even though it's outrageous, he'd steal 15% of everyone's wages. He took back the money, his loving family waiting, but to spend it on them he found nauseating. So instead it was frittered, squandered and wasted on lame books about Churchill and the Grouch getting pasted.
Drinking wine.
This happened each year, until one Christmas day the actors decided they had something to say. You've taken too much money, so I'm afraid we're all leaving. The Grouch was so angry, went red. He was seething, snorting and spluttering with a huff and a grunt. As they walked down the mountain, he called one of them a...
Hugh quickly turns the page.
Sat in his cave, the Grouch now did think, how would he fund his addiction to drink? It was then that he saw a face on TV. The boy looked familiar, but only vaguely.
Jack's face.
Hillary, who is this guy with blue eyes and great hair, making them laugh with his wit and his flair? You're joking, Mr. Grouch. That Jedi of fun with the amazing jokes, that boy is your son. Pound signs appeared in his glaucoma-ridden eyes. If the Grouch had a soul, this would be the bit where he cries, I don't need those actors with their lovey-dovey crap. If I want to make money, I'll jump on his back.
Piggyback.
So that is the story. It is not one of cheer, of how the Grouch stole Christmas and his own son's career.
Oh, what a wondrous tale, ladies and gentlemen.
Available in all good bookshops.
It's so good. Now time for more Queer Eye. Let's have a look at how things ended up between the gang and my dad.
Video. In London, Michael heads upstairs to his bedroom with Jack. Tan waits, arranging throw cushions.
Why am I going to the bedroom?
Tan is waiting for you in your bedroom.
Who's Tan?
He's the stylist.
All right, OK.
Hello, Michael.
Do
how are
Hi,
you?
I'm
so
Michael.
Nice to meet
and you. Very nice.
Hello, dear. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you also. Do you want to take a seat?
Yeah, sure. Should
we do this?
You know, we had to have that wall soundproofed. Because of, you know, you got money. No, I mean, it's the problem. If you take on a young wife like I did,
I don't know if I can hear anymore.
I don't know if I can do this anymore.
I'm not saying it's as active as it used to be, obviously. I've slowed up a bit in that department, but she's still, it's like a rattlesnake. Anyway, that's not why we're here.
Tan shakes his head in disbelief.
We're here to talk about your clothes.
I think it would be better if Michael dressed a little bit younger. I've never seen him in jeans, I've never seen him in casual wear, you know.
Well, I mean, this is a light suit.
Well, that's not
casual.
It's
formal. It's a casual suit. And if you want to be very casual, I'd probably take the waistcoat off.
That's very casual. Your suits live where? Here?
Over there.
Okay. Yeah. Can I see?
Yeah.
I like a lot of these. I love that.
Yeah.
Jack, don't pull a face. This
Ooh,
is
nice.
Bold choice. Where are you wearing this?
Pink suit nice, jacket.
Yeah, I think it's lovely.
That's for nights out in Soho.
Pink socks.
Now that's weird.
You know, I'm struggling to believe that you wear these.
Yes, I would wear those if I was wearing a tie of that colour. I like to match.
Oh, so you actually do really think about how you're accessorising
Yes.
your outfit. What else are you doing to accessorise?
Oh, yeah, I've got this. It's Prince Albert, which I was given by my father.
Is it called Prince Albert?
Please call it a Prince Albert pocket watch.
Yeah.
A Prince Albert.
Yeah, Prince Albert.
No, please don't call it a Prince Albert.
Oh, it's definitely not a Prince Albert.
No, that means something different.
Do you want me to get it out?
No!
Oh, well, it's out now, anyway.
You have to say pocket watch.
And I will give my Prince Albert to Jack when I die, and he
God, you're a lucky
will
boy.
Pass it on to his children.
Do you, you don't know what?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
A piercing on the end of your willy.
What, like a penis piercing?
Yes, that's a Prince Albert.
Gross.
It helps.
Why would you want that?
You know how you were talking about soundproofing the wall?
Yeah.
You'd need extra insulation if you got that, because you would really please somebody at that point.
Especially if you had a watch on the end of it.
Yes.
Photo shoot. Jack sweeps his hands in Vogue-like movements. Michael Coffey is looking annoyed.
Okay, Jack, you wanted to see your dad in something more casual, yes?
Yep.
I think we've found something that you're going to love. Michael?
Yes.
Can you come show us?
A grey-green tracksuit with white pinstripes.
I look like I've just escaped from Alcatraz.
Do you not feel more casual and relaxed?
You'd be happy walking out with me in this outfit, would you?
That's not what this look is for. This look is for, like, chilling around the house. It's your chillaxing look.
I'm not getting this look at the moment, I have to be honest.
If you're not, then I've got a backup, which I'm positive you're going to love. Should we try that one instead?
Runners, skinny jeans, a purple turtleneck, and a flat cap.
Yes, yes, yes! You look great, and the ankles as well. Show me more of that ankle.
Yeah. I didn't want to moisturise them because I wanted that lovely ashy effect to go so nicely with the sneakers.
Extending the turtleneck.
Like, that takes 30 years off his
neck. I like that, yeah. And also, this is great for Christmas because if he does start talking about Brexit and things like that, we could even go a little higher.
Oh, inbuilt gag. Yeah, yes, I like that.
That is perfect for any father this Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Hillary's going to love it. We should find out what she thinks. Hillary, will you tell us what you think of this look?
She doubles over laughing.
No, Mummy. It looks great.
It's great. Could you make this work?
Could I make this look work?
Yeah, do you feel like this could be the new you or no?
I think probably not.
It just doesn't work for him. He looks so good in those suits. He is a sharply dressed man. He's not the problem.
That, I think, could be where the problem lies.
That needs help. My issue is Jack. Jack's wardrobe is where the problem lies. I'm going to take him back to the boys and we're going to solve this problem.
Good.
In Philadelphia, the three men wait on the couch.
Jack, will you come out and join us?
I don't want to.
No, come on!
Oh, my
three-piece grey suit with a blue tie and scarf.
Oh, my God, I'm so attractive. On the pants. I mean, I miss the VPL, but other than that, I'm so turned on right now.
I feel like I'm dressed to go and talk to a foreigner slightly too loudly.
So
you look
better.
So confident and handsome.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys love it, then I guess I love it.
He
wears glasses and holds a black fedora style hat. They have a group hug.
Slow-mo, like, leaping up.
They leap in the air and high five.
So, did you enjoy the Queer Eye experience?
Yeah, you know, I thought they were good, very good.
A glowing review. Well, I want to talk about another of our Christmas traditions.
Yes.
It wasn't just dressing up like you that you enforced upon us. You also wanted your children to drink like you. This might be the most British clip that you will ever see. Just to contextualise it, when this was filmed, it was 1994. I was 5 years old, Molly was 3 years old, and my brother Barnaby was 2 years old.
Dining room.
What's the snowman?
You finished that? It knocks the wine back.
Right, I wouldn't give him any more now. He needs some lunch, Barney.
That's it, Barney, because this is the Shadley Premier Crew, 1990.
Where's Molla? Hi, Molla.
Molly raises her glass.
Oh. Well, it was the fairy over there, sort of knocking it back and coughing it up. Oh.
Barnaby sips the glass.
Oh, look.
Look at little Barney. So sweet.
How do you feel about watching that back, that you introduced your two-year-old son to alcohol at Christmas lunch?
No, I didn't. He had a Black's Fizz for breakfast. I mean, just a tiny one.
Anyway, shout out to Molly, who is watching this evening in the stalls, and my brother Barnaby, who is watching from the Priory Rehab Clinic. So that is almost the end of the show. All I need to do now is the big finale. I told you earlier about how I've always been ashamed of my emu performance. Well, I figured that having a Netflix Christmas special was finally my chance to do something about it.
Churchyard in England.
I've taken it upon myself to write my very own musical that finally places the emu front and centre. To do so, I've enlisted the help of the godfather of musical theatre, Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Inside.
OK, so first up, we probably need to think of a plot for our musical.
Good idea.
What about this? Young soprano emu who becomes the obsession of a murderous, hideously disfigured operatic emu.
Promising, but it's been done.
Emus on roller skates?
Honestly.
Have you got any ideas?
What about the idea of an older emu with a son, a doofus of a son,
well,
yes.
I don't know whether that would... I don't know whether that would work.
Doofus, he was only a doofus, all alone with his memory of his days in the sun. Just a doofus whose passions were returning to him. Just a doofus has begun. Something like that, you know, I mean, I can see that.
Outside.
Well, I think things went pretty well with Lord Lloyd Webber, or Andy, as he told me not to call him. Next up, the Bonnie to his Clyde, the Shakademus to his Pliers.
A townhouse.
Sir Tim Rice.
Good to see you.
Very good to see you. So, love Hamilton, by the way, one of my faves.
Wasn't one of mine, but...
So modest. I thought there could be a little moment in this musical where I spit some bars.
Were you what?
Rapping.
Oh, rapping. Sorry, yes.
Yes. Don't deny, I can fly. I don't care what they say. Things will go my way. I ain't an Oster Rich. I am an emu bitch.
Could you make absolutely sure that my name is in no way connected with this project whatsoever?
So modest.
Dance studio.
So we've got the music, we've got the lyrics, now it's time for the choreography. And to help me do that today, I've enlisted the help of a friend of mine, Leighton Williams, West End star. I've seen him in musicals like Billy Elliot, everyone's talking about Jamie.
Oh. Hugging Leighton.
Hey!
Hello.
Very good.
How are you? 1, 5, 6, 7, I'd step. Kick.
Jack tries kick. To join in, completely uncoordinated.
It went really well. I feel like I maybe missed my calling. I mean, I heard some mumblings from some of the other dancers. I think I heard the phrase White Usher.
A 5, 6, 7, and boom, and
I clearly have a natural sense of rhythm.
Truly, honestly, not a fucking hope in hell.
Graham Norton.
It's all coming together. Time to hit the promo circuit.
So now, Jack, I hear you're doing a musical, a new musical?
A new musical, yes. I've enlisted the help of Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber and Sir Tim Rice, and I am going to be starring in my own musical.
Oh, fantastic. And is your dad going to be in it?
No. It's just me. It's me. I'm the star of the show, and it's going to be me singing in a musical for the first time ever.
No dad?
No dad, no.
That seems a shame.
What's the next question? I'm feeling so confident, and now I think it's just a case of fine-tuning it a bit. So, I'm gonna get back in there, finesse it. Things are looking pretty good right now.
He heads back into the dance studio.
Okay, come on, guys!
Backup dancers.
No rest. Let's go again.
London Theatre.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the world premiere of Emu, the musical.
Nativity scene.
And Mary did have a baby. And he was called Jesus.
Jesus!
And the Lord was pleased.
Jesus is Michael's doll Winston.
Perhaps you recognize the scene. It's not so strange for you and me. It looks kind of familiar. But look again, what do you see?
Jack as an emu.
Forget the donkey!
Knocking over a donkey and sheep.
Forget baby Jesus. It's all about me. The emu. The emu.
Choir, backup dancers.
The nativity that we were taught turns out not to be entirely true.
Right. Here's the Christmas story you've never heard. The central character's a flightless bird. I was an emu, a weakling born. To my father, the classic fool, didn't recognize my worth, sent me away to boarding school.
Cue tiny violins.
All alone in my dormitory, the other emus all ignored me. Sat alone, watching the clock. Me and my tuck box and our crunchy sock.
Angel.
Why is there a guy in my bed?
No time to explain. I'm Angel Gabriel. What's the matter, little emu?
I don't want to be an emu. Emus suck.
Not true, my man. Emus are the best bird ever.
He's kind of intense.
You're the second biggest bird in the world.
Oh, he's wearing their pants.
You can run 30 miles an hour. Over at Hall, he had one. That's a reference for your mom. Yeah, emus are the best bird in town.
My dad says emus are stupid.
Well, your dad's a jackass.
Complete asshole.
I have a message for you. You've been called by God on high to take Mary and Joe to Bethlehem. Donkey, scoot on over. Emu is the Bible's owner. Emu is the best bird in town.
I don't care what my father says. I am relevant.
Damn right.
Help me, help me out.
Forget the donkey, stupid donkey. It's all about me. Them to Bethlehem.
How can we ever thank you, sir?
I don't want to make a fuss. All I ask is you remember us.
And give me a 5-star rating. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. The real star of Christmas is the Christmas emu. The reason you've never heard of me is they replaced emu with a little donkey.
Breakdancing donkey.
Ah, shut up! If you are going to sing that song, you will use the correct lyrics.
Better! Emu was the true Christmas miracle, the true shining star bright in the sky. For over 2,000 years ago, it was in Bethlehem I learned to fly.
He rises in the air.
Forget the sheep. Forget baby Jesus. It's all about me.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
The emu. The emu. The emu. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Still in the air, he bows his long emu neck. Credits, audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Executive producers Jack Whitehall, Michael Whitehall and Richard Ackerman. Special guests Hugh Bonneville, Graham Norton, Leighton Williams, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. E-musical composed and written by Pippa Evans and Duncan Walsh Atkins. Choreographer Jerry Reeve, choir, some voices choir. Series producer John Reed, directed by Richard Vant Wright. In association with Jackpot Productions and Whitehall Films. Copyright 2019 Netflix Worldwide Entertainment LLC. Logo, Tiger Aspect Productions, part of Endemolsheim Group.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.